Well, folks, let's just do a quick reminder where we've been when I've been teaching and preaching. So two times ago, we did Follow Me. And we looked at what it meant for Jesus, for us to be followers of Jesus and to go where he directs. And then the next time I spoke, we looked at when he went on to say, and I will make you. And what we did is we identified, what has he already made us? What did we become when we accepted Christ? And what are we still becoming? Remember that one? So we're continuing that theme a little bit, but we're building on it today. We're looking at how we can be more like Jesus and represent him well. And the song that we sang today where it said, something about, I don't remember lyrics real well, but it said something about taking his love and giving it to others. Well, we can't give to others what we don't have. So we have to experience that first. We have to meet with him and hear from him and spend time with him. Seeing this chord reminded me, last week we tried to record Pastor Van, and CenturyLink was not cooperating. It was a mess all last weekend. It was a mess at home. It was a mess here. And so what we did yesterday is he and I met together and we recorded it, the whole thing from the beginning to the end, and it's on Facebook Live. So if you want to see his message from last Sunday, share it on your own personal page, and then that expands the people who have access to it. Okay. So we want to talk about today, as we become more like Jesus, what effect will we have on other people? As we become more like Jesus, what effect will we have on other people? Colossians 3:10 says, put on your new nature and be renewed. See, that's part of that process that we talked about. Be renewed as you learn to know your Creator. And we discuss that. We become more like him as we get to know him better. And become like him. I'll read it from start to finish. Colossians 3:10. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. Come on now. Become like him? Wait a minute. Who are we talking about becoming like? Jesus. God the Son and the Son of God, we become like him? Does that even seem possible that we can be like Jesus? Well, in some aspects we can. Some aspects. But the idea that in some ways I'm to become like Jesus. Come on now. You don't all think that's amazing? I think that's pretty amazing. In 2 Corinthians 3:18 it says, all of us. Who's in all of us? If it's in all of us, that means all of you, right? Every single one? Is anybody excluded in all of us? Okay, all of us can now see and reflect the glory of the Lord. Well, you reflect what you're looking at. So are you looking at Jesus? Because if we're going to reflect him, we need to be looking at him. Okay. All of us can now see and reflect the glory of the Lord, and the Lord who is the Spirit makes us. The Holy Spirit makes us. So part of it is when we see him, we become. Part of it is the Holy Spirit makes us more and more like him. Listen, as we are changed into his glorious image. What? I'm actually becoming more and more like Jesus? And the Holy Spirit is actually doing that in me? Come on. Come on. Morning, Ashton. So that means at some point, I should be able to measure that. If you're becoming more and more like something, how do you measure that? So this morning we're going to look at two different ways that we can measure, am I, okay? So, you know, I might try to guess where you all are, but the most important thing is for each of us to do it individually. How much more like Jesus am I becoming? If I take some measurements from 5 years ago, have I made some progress? Oh, I hope so. You know, because the me 5 years ago needed some help and the me now needs some help. So I'm hoping in that 5 years, I've grown some. All right. So what does it mean to be like Jesus? And in what ways have you and I been changing more into his image? And have other people been able to see and acknowledge that? When they look at my life, can they recognize that I'm becoming a little more like Jesus? Boy, I hope so. I don't know about you, but I hope so. The Spirit makes us more and more like him. Galatians 5 tells us, serve one another through love, for the whole law. I didn't bring my actual printed Bible. It's over there. But if I grabbed my Bible and held it up, so we're going to pretend this is a Bible. It's a hymn book. But this was a Bible. The whole law, come on, front to back, the whole thing is summed up in one command, love your neighbor as yourself, and you do that by walking by the Spirit. Wow. So when you and I, when we have a goal, when we have a destination, we have some place we're getting to, when we have a vision that we want to see come to pass, we need a way to measure that, right? So I was a diehard paper map person, long after those little boxes, what were they called? Garmins, long after Garmins, because Garmin had me running in circles more than once. And so I was a paper map person, and I would get out my map, and Stacy would attest to this. I was watching exactly where I was on that map. So now I sometimes let GPS do it, but we still need to know how much distance we've made on our trip, how close we are to our destination. So if we want to measure how we're like more and more like Jesus, remember I said we're going to look at two ways to measure that. The first one is we need to get a clearer picture of Jesus. If this is Jesus and this is me, and I want to compare those, then this picture of Jesus needs to be pretty clear. Now, I don't know if you've ever done that. Now, you know, I don't have as much hair as I used to have, and even as a guy, it was never a big thing. But I've noticed when you go and get your hair cut, they have, well, they used to, picture magazines there. And you were supposed to go through that and say to the lady doing your hair, this is what I want to look at. You gave her an image, right? Now, you know, she may look at that and say, oh, there's no hope, but, you know, hopefully she doesn't say that out loud. And I've done that with the kids in those highlight magazines. And you open it and there's a compare the pictures and find the differences. So you look and you look and you look. Well, Lucas is amazing. You open it up and he says, pap, pap, here, 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 here. And I'm like, you just did the whole page. But the rest of us, you know, we go back and forth. Okay, on this one, there's a flower sticking up out of the hat, okay? This one, the lady has 5 spots on her arm, on her dress. This one, she only has 2. So if we want to see how we're comparing with Jesus, we have to get a clear picture of Jesus. Then we hold ourselves up and we go, ew, I'm different this way and I'm different that way. Okay, you got it? So the first way to tell our progress is to get to see Jesus more clearly. Well, what's one of the best ways to do that? It's to look in the written word, because there we get to see where he went, who he talked to, what he said, how he affected them, what the writers said about him, what other people said about him. And so we get that clearer picture of Jesus when we look in the Word. And we can say, have I made progress? How am I measuring up? So we want to look at a couple different snapshots today to get clearer pictures of Jesus. Ready? Nobody's ready. Let's try that again. You ready? You ready? Okay, okay. You are allowed to respond. You know, ever since the Southern boy showed up, my son-in-law Van, and he said, down south, we say, come on, and we say, hallelujah and amen, he gave us all permission to do that. See, this refined northern boy wasn't used to that. But, you know, he rubs off a little bit on me. And, you know, I know that's scary. I know that's scary. But, you know, so you can say amen, you can say yes, you can say preach it, pastor. All of that would be really good. Okay. Oh, and Pastor Kurt's away at a retreat, or he'd be over there going, whoop, whoop, whoop. Isn't that what he says? Like, yeah, see? So we wanting to know we missed him today, so you can whoop, whoop a little bit. All right. So the first picture we're looking at, Nicodemus comes to Jesus. Now think about who Nicodemus is. Nicodemus is a Pharisee. How well did Jesus and the Pharisees get along? Not too well. He called them some pretty tough things. He called them tombs with a bunch of dead bones in them. And called them some other things. Because he wanted them to understand that their belief system somehow had gotten off track. So they didn't have a great relationship with him. So this Pharisee shows up. And remember, we're comparing. So when I look at these examples, I think, how would I have responded? This guy shows up that doesn't really recognize me for who I am. The whole group of them want to get rid of me. They think I'm not doing anything right. And I think they're not doing anything right. And so I show up and I say to Jesus, I want to talk to you. Now, I think Jesus should have said, go home and get your act straightened up and then come and talk to me. But does Jesus do that? No. Jesus invites him into conversation and relationship. That's different than me. Different than me. So how did Jesus react and how did Nicodemus receive? How was he received? Well, this is where we get the whole conversation, you must be born again. So if they hadn't had this conversation, that wouldn't be recorded for us, that you must be born again. It's also, come on, it's also where our most famous Christian verse came from. When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he said, for God so loved the world. Okay, come on. In that conversation. So when you think about that conversation that he and Nicodemus had about being born again, what does that mean? How does that happen? And then Jesus said, well, for God so loved the world. And so he was explaining to Nicodemus how to be born again. What are some words that come to mind when you think about that interchange that they had? And I actually want to hear a few. What are some things? Yes, yep, he did say that, yep. What I'm looking for is, how would you describe that interaction? Honest, thank you. A couple other words. Genuine, yep. Okay, how childlike? Okay, all right. So there was some real connection, some real interaction. All right, the next one. So I actually, as I was preparing this sermon, I thought, well, Lord, where should I be in the Word to get these examples? And I found them all in John. So we're just basically picking stories out through John, and of course, John 3:16, so we were in chapter 3. Oh, I am going to need my Bible. I was thinking I had most of the verses written out for you and for me. So in John 4 is where he talks to the Samaritan woman. And we've done that a number of times, and you're like, oh, Pastor Steve, I know that story. But this time we're looking at it a little bit differently. Now we know from Nicodemus that he came seeking truth. He came seeking answers. But now in this next picture of Jesus, this next snapshot, we don't have any insight into whether or not she was even seeking any answers. She didn't come to Jesus at the well and say, you know, I want to talk with you. Nicodemus would have recognized Jesus as being somewhat of a rabbi. She didn't recognize Jesus or know him at all, but Jesus knew her. He knew her need. And as they talked and had this interchange, this is some interesting conversation. And so again, we're looking at it more from the point of the intersection that they had, the conversation that they had. So we're going to look at verse 12, John 4, 12. And Jesus says, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. The water that I give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. I jumped ahead. I told you 12. Okay, 12. We're going to go back. So they're having a little bit of a conversation, and she says, but you're not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us this well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle? So here's Jesus, and he's having a conversation with her, and her response is almost, so who do you think you are? That's what she was saying, okay? We live up here in Samaria, and we worship Jesus according to our religion. And Jacob was here, and this is Jacob's well, so who do you think you are? Well, I don't know. When people say that to me, well, I don't know who you think you are, I don't always have the best reaction. But Jesus goes on to say, Jesus had a way of ignoring what was said to him to get to the point that he wanted to communicate. He doesn't even address that. He just goes right on and says, Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. The water that I give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Jesus kept the conversation going. He didn't close the door because she didn't immediately receive him or what he was trying to say. So down in verse 20, she says, she is challenging Jesus again. And this time she says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people. Oh, I don't like to be called a you people. I don't know. I don't like that one either. That just bristles me the wrong way. You know, you charismatics, or you this, or you that. And she says, but you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where we ought to worship. And Jesus says to her, woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. In other words, let's not concentrate on the where. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is. Jesus was ushering in that new hour when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshiper. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Jesus was teaching, but he was also giving her an invitation. You can stay stuck in you people and this well, or you can learn to worship God for who he really is, in spirit and in truth. Verse 25. The woman said to him, well, I know the Messiah is coming, who's called the Christ. When he comes, he will declare all things to us. Again, like, I don't know who you think you are or what you're trying to say, but somebody is going to come and explain all this. And what does Jesus say? I am he. And you know the rest of the story. She understands who Jesus is. And she actually then goes back and tells the whole village who Jesus is. She's the first evangelist, and the village comes out to see Jesus. Okay? So we're going to do this just one more time. I'm not going to do this in my other examples, But what are some words that come to mind about this interchange, this conversation? He did. Yep. He went out and he initiated the conversation. Yep, he did. Thank you. How about some of the words we used before? Honest, genuine. Yep. Okay. Jesus had a way of being straightforward and kind at the same time. I'm not real great at that. I can either just be straightforward, here I am and here's the truth, or I can be kind. But combining the two, I could do better at that. All right, next one. The centurion, a Roman officer. Now, come on, we're talking about conversations and interactions that Jesus had. A centurion is over 1,000 Roman soldiers. He probably was part of the crew that came in and defeated the army of Israel, killed Israelite soldiers, and now he's occupying the country. They pulled down all the rulers. They put their rulers in place. King Herod said he would cooperate, so, you know, he betrayed the nation and was cooperating with the Romans. And they had very strict rules that you did what they said, when they said it, how they said it, and this person shows up to talk to Jesus. I'm a little embarrassed to say this, but I probably would have turned and walked away. I'm just being honest. Remember, we're practicing being honest. I thought the other day, we started 2020, and little did I know. I said, let's start 2020 being real and honest, where we are and what we're going through. Little did I know. Okay, so now here we are in 2021. I probably would have just turned and walked away. Like, I don't know who you think you are approaching me, but you aren't treating us nice. You're not treating my neighbors nice. You know, you killed my uncle in battle or somebody I knew. I don't want to have anything to do with you. And actually, it just amazes me that Jesus knew something about him that I didn't know. We make assumptions, don't we? I make assumptions. And so this man comes up to Jesus and says, would you pray for my son? Huh? And I might have said, well, why don't one of your 12 gods help you with your son? Romans worshipped about 12 different gods, and they all had different powers, so go talk to the one that can help you out. But what did Jesus say? So they had this interchange, this conversation. He says, will you heal my boy? And Jesus said, go your way, let it be done to you as you have believed. Wow. Remember, we're trying to get a clearer picture of Jesus so we can put ourselves up. And we can say, okay, what's missing in this comparison? What do I lack that I really could do better at? And then we find out that he gets home, and they said, so your son who was near death yesterday afternoon at 3 p.m. started to get better. And he thought, oh, yesterday afternoon at 3 p.m. is when Jesus said, be it done to you as you have believed. Jesus had a profound effect on people's lives. Can we say that? That we have. I can say I want to have, but I don't know that I always have a profound effect on people's lives. So continuing the story a little bit here where we are in John, this is when they sent the Pharisees, okay, remember we talked about the Pharisees. The Pharisees sent some officers out to arrest Jesus and bring him back. And the officers went out and they saw what Jesus was doing and they heard what he said and they went back to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were like, where's the prisoner? we gave you a job. And they said, well, you've never heard anybody talk like that before. They were so amazed by Jesus that they didn't arrest him. They went back, and the Pharisees said, well, do any of us believe? Little did they know. Because Nicodemus stands up and says, well, we can't judge a man unless we've heard what he said. In other words, innocent until proven guilty. That was the effect that Jesus had on Nicodemus. We don't ever get the idea that he made his beliefs public until after Jesus' death. But Jesus had a profound effect on him. Okay, just two more. Two more. John 11 is the story of Lazarus. And Mary and Martha sent Jesus a message that said, Lord, behold, him who you love is sick. So Jesus not only had relationship, but he had deep relationship. He had relationships to the point that they would be described as love. In verse 5 it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. They were close personal friends with Jesus. Okay, you want to turn there with me? John 11. And we're going to jump in on the story on verse 20. Martha, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went out to meet him. Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said, well, your brother will rise again. And Martha said, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe that? Yes, Lord. I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. When she said this, she went back home and called Mary, her sister, and said, the teacher is here and he's asking for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to weep. Therefore Mary came to where Jesus was. She saw him and fell at his feet. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he was deeply moved and was troubled. And Jesus said, where have they laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Jesus had deep emotions and he cared. And that's why the word tells us, weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. Okay, last story we're going to look at. John 13. John 13. Remember, we're trying to get a clear view of Jesus so that we can do a comparison. You there? John 13? Okay. Having you in your Bibles today. Now, before the Passover feast, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come and that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, And knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, okay, Jesus knew exactly who he was and what his mission was. And right there at the supper table was Judas, got up from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself, poured water into a basin, come on now, and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. What? Come on. He knew he was the Son of God. He knew he was God the Son. He knew his mission. But because of love that he had for these fellows, he washed their feet. Wow. Jesus came to serve, didn't he? See, that's the one that sometimes I struggle with. Maybe none of you do. But if we put up a picture of Jesus as the great servant, and then I put up myself, how am I doing with that? What's missing from this picture? What is missing? I don't know how this message is hitting you, but I've told you before, it hits me all week. And then when I present it to you, it hits me even harder. It really does. So remember we said that we needed a measuring stick. Well, how about kids? What do kids do? They go up to a door jamb, right? And you put a mark. And the scripture talks about holding up a plumb line. Now, those of you that know me know I'm not construction-minded or real handy, but I do know what a plumb line is. Okay, you hold the string up, and there's a weight at the end, and it'll hang perfectly vertical. So you can put it next to the thing you're trying to build, which I don't try to build, but you put it up next to the thing you're trying to build, and you can tell if you're crooked one way or the other. So what we're doing this morning, we're taking this truth in the Word, and we're holding it up. And we're saying, okay, Jesus is the plumb line. What do I look like compared to Jesus? Or if we want to go over to the doorpost, okay, here's Jesus. Now, don't get funny. We're not talking physical height here. And we're measuring where Jesus is, and then we're saying, how do I measure up? Right? That's what we're trying to do. So one other measuring stick today. So we said, first one was Jesus himself. Seeing him better, and as we compare the pictures, how do I measure up? Am I making progress? Okay. Hopefully, when I compare it a year from now, I will have made some progress. When I look back a couple years, hopefully, I've made some progress. The second way to see how we're doing with this is from Galatians 5. Remember, we learned from Galatians 5 at the very beginning of my message that the entire word is summed up in loving your neighbor as yourself. And we're told that we are to live empowered by the Holy Spirit and that the Holy Spirit would make us more and more like Jesus. Yay! Okay, so that means some of it's my effort, but some of it also is the effort of the Holy Spirit. I am so thankful for the Holy Spirit. I have had days, weeks, months, where if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, I don't know where I'd be. In you guys' case, the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. That's one of his names. That's one of his jobs, his duties, to come alongside and hold us up when we can't stand up ourselves. Been there, done that. There's been times where I'm like, okay, Lord, without you, we're not doing today. Today looks like just staying on the sofa with my blanket and pillow, and I'm going to veg out and watch Star Wars all day. I can do a marathon, and before I know it, it'll be time for bed. don't shake your head no at me. And, but without him. But the Holy Spirit says, nope, I can come, stand alongside, support, encourage, strengthen, and out we go. All right, so verse 22 and 23 gives us our final measuring stick. And it's called the fruit of the Spirit. See, the fruit of the Spirit are the words that describe Jesus. Jesus perfectly exhibited all of the fruit of the Spirit. And if we're to live empowered by the Spirit, then the fruit of the Spirit is what's going to be produced in our life. Come on now. I see a couple people nodding. Is that right or not? If we are living empowered by the Holy Spirit, the produce, what will be produced in our lives, will be the fruit of our Spirit, fruit of the Spirit. Not our Spirit, fruit of the Spirit. And so we can do a comparison there. Okay, we can look at each of these words, and that might be a great exercise to do over the next week or so. When I read through the list, I don't know about you, but the way my mind works, the ones that I'm doing really bad with just flash at me. You know, almost like there are psychedelic neon light on my page. I don't know why I don't notice the ones I'm doing better at, but what jumps off the page for me are the ones that I could do better at. So Holy Spirit, maybe you can point out to me the ones that I've made some progress in. But let's look at that list. Let's go through them and do an honest evaluation. Lord, you know my heart. You show me which of this fruit I'm exhibiting and which I really could do better on. So now let's think about these. Love, joy. Wow, if the joy of the Lord is my strength, I've been praying that a lot this past year. Lord, I obviously need more joy because I have days I'm really weak and I don't have strength. So joy is what I need to be developing. Peace. Wow. Anybody need that this past year? Patience. See, that's one of those that's flashing red, orange, green, yellow for me. Okay? Always have struggled with that. Kindness. Kindness. Goodness. See, one of the ways to measure this is to say, would other people describe me this way? So if I'd go to Trish and I'd say, hey, Trish, what are some words that would describe me? Would she use any of those? Oh, Trish! Thank you. Okay. Now, there's more than one that she wouldn't use, I'm sure. But when you think about how other people would describe you, would they say, you're loving, peaceful, kind, patient, good, faithful? Are you known as being faithful, loyal, gentle? Okay, that word is meekness in a lot of translations, and that means strength and control. Strength and control. When someone describes you, do they see you as strength under control? Or guided in the right direction. Strength guided in the right direction. Because we all know examples of strength that isn't guided in the right direction. And finally, self-control. Self-control. So are those things evident when we encounter other people? See, I think when we look at the examples we did of Jesus today, okay, Nicodemus, the centurion, the woman at the well. When we look at those examples, some of those words should come to mind. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, self-control, faithfulness. Knew I missed one in there. Okay? Those things are what allowed Jesus to have the dramatic effect that he did on people. Positive, dramatic effect. Okay, there's plenty of us that might have a dramatic effect, but it's not too positive on people. We can use those things as a measuring tool. How about when we relate to other people on social media or text messages? So this week we can say, Holy Spirit, you're the one that said that you would help me to become more like Jesus. This is where I need help. Anybody else admit that you might need help with one or two? Oh, yay, I thought it was just me. Woohoo! All right. So I'm going to have the worship team come back up. We're going to do the last song, and we're going to be brave. I think, if nothing else, this past year we've learned to have some courage and to be brave. So we're going to be brave, and we're going to say, Holy Spirit, you help me do this comparison. You help me look at Jesus and see where I am, and you help me look at this list of the fruit of the Spirit and see where I am. Because the Scripture tells us that sometimes we even fool ourselves. And I've done that. I've gotten into situations, and what came out surprised me. I'm like, where'd that come from? And so let's ask Him to show us what we could do a little better with. Amen? You may sit, you may stand, you may kneel, you may come up and spread out front, up front, however you want to have that interchange with Jesus today. Amen?
My delight is in you. My delight is in you.
Steph, just continue to play. The words of that song talk about drawing closer to Him, coming into His presence. And I just heard Him say, some of you aren't sure you're welcome there. And He's saying, what? I've been sitting here waiting for you. I've been sitting here expecting you. I've been sitting here looking for you. Son, daughter, you are more than welcome into my presence. Come, sit next to me, stand next to me. Don't stay distant. Did we not look at examples today of when I invited people in, when I welcomed them, when I wanted to have conversation with them, when I wanted to have a close relationship with them? Don't let the enemy tell you the lie that you are not welcomed. Draw close, draw close, draw close. Cast off those lies that others have spoken over you. Those lies that have made you feel unworthy. Those lies that have made you feel like you didn't measure up in some way. Cast them off and come freely into my presence today. You are welcome. You are expected. You are looked for. And even as you draw close to me, I draw close to you. Even as you seek after me, I seek after you. I'm extending my hand to you. Come on. Come on, Jesus is saying. Come on, closer, closer, come on. Don't be afraid. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. None of that's to stand in my presence. You can lay all of that down. Have I not come that you could be washed and that you could be cleansed and you could be renewed, that you could be made new in me? Lay down those old things and come. Come, 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 come. Wow. So, Father, we respond to your invitation today. However distant we were when we arrived today, we're not going to leave that distance. You've invited us. You've welcomed us. You've extended your hand to us. You've told us to lay some things down that were hindering us, that were making us think we couldn't come. So we lay them down and we come. And Jesus, my heart has such a desire to be more like you. Because I know it's only as I become more like you that I can have an impact on the world. That I can affect people in a powerful and positive way. Only as I become more like you. So Jesus, I want to be able to see you more clearly. I want to be able to look at you so intently that I start reflecting you. I want to see you in prayer. I want to see you in worship. I want to see you in devotions. I want to see you in the written word. I want to see you in my fellow brothers and sisters. I want to see you in nature. I want to see you in all the ways you want to reveal yourself to me so that I can become more like you. And Holy Spirit, today, we're going to be brave and we're going to say, Holy Spirit, help us to hold up that plumb line of the fruit of the Spirit and in truth recognize where we could do better and then to ask you, the one that empowers us, the one that teaches us, the one that counsels us, to come and as the Word says, make us more and more like Jesus. So a year from now, if we have another message like this, I can say, I grew a little bit. I'm a little more like Jesus now than I was a year ago. And so that other people will recognize that I'm a little more like Jesus. A little more loving. A little more patient even. A little more kind. A little more faithful, a little more joyful, a little more peaceful. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you never leave us. You never walk away from us. Not only are you inside us, but you're beside us, holding us up, supporting us, encouraging us, strengthening us. Holy Spirit, what a dear friend you are. And as we go, we ask again that you would empower us to live out this Christian life, that you would empower us to represent Jesus well, that you would empower us to affect those that we come in contact with, that we would be able to be like Jesus to them, the same Jesus that healed, restored, delivered, saved, and set free is what you've called us to do. Use me, Lord. Use us this week. And the saints of God and the family of God said, Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.